Hi, I'm Kylea. I'm the California contingent of the family. Everybody else lives in Blacksburg almost. My mother described her life in her 90s as a full life, and she said that she had been blessed or guided by grace. And by that, she explained that if she had made the decisions about who she would encounter in life and where she would go in the major crossroads that we all have, that she would have made the wrong decisions. But she was guided by grace, and she found my father, and she had the opportunities that she had, and she was very grateful for that. I think she would also have been very grateful to the people that helped her at the end of her life, and particularly my daughter Taylor Albright and Janet Bishop, who was her caregiver, gave her an experience of excellent care through hospice and just tremendous loving care at the end, and that was a final grace that she had in life. I want to also thank Amy Kander, whose bouquet is here. Is Amy here? There she is. Oh, good. Amy helped me. Without Amy, we would not have Nadine's book, which is out on the table there. I don't know how many people knew about that book, but it was just for family when she wrote it. And then she started giving it away in the last years to almost anybody. So we decided that if anybody really wants to read it and we have enough copies, then we would be glad to give it to you if you really, really want one, because we don't have, you know, enough for everybody, really. In that book, it's called Something to Build Upon, and I think her values are really put out in that book. She really believed in family. She believed in education. She believed that what you do in the present gives you the skills, the resources, and a California word, the karma, to do the next thing in the future. And that's what she believed. I think my mother, how I used to describe her, and still do, I guess, is the most complex person I ever met. And I was really kind of validated when we were going through her papers when I found a letter she had written from her 23-year-old self to her 30-year-old self. And in it, she had a lot of things to say to her 30-year-old self. But in it, she said, "My character has tendencies to be split. Whatever I could name, the opposite is also true to a greater or lesser degree." Then she listed her liabilities. Long. And then she noticed that she had listed her liabilities. And she said, "Thank God I have a sense of humor." And she did. She had a sense of humor. Probably most of you didn't get to see her inner critic, because she reserved that for her family and very close friends. Unless you played tennis with her. And then you might hear it a lot. I've been spending this week, too, reading through her papers has really been healing and enlightening for me. And I spent this last week reading her 14-year-old diary that she had begged her mother for 2 years and finally gotten one Christmas, and wrote in it, amazingly, exactly one full page every day until September. I don't know what happened in September, but it was very interesting. Through it, one of the things I found was her incredible love of flowers. Flowers are at least one-third of this diary. It started in the winter when she would sit with a burpees catalog in the evenings and read through and decide whether she was going to get bachelor buttons or this or that. And she planned this triangle, which she diagrammed as a triangle in her diary. And she planned where each flower was going to go. And then all the spring months were about hand spading and planting. And then the summer months were about picking and selling. So she wrote in her diary on May 4th, I'll just read this to you, "My bachelor buttons are sprucing up, and so are the carnations, while my sweet peas are growing monstrously. I love flowers. Perhaps they are small bits of heaven which come down concealed in raindrops and sunbeams." Really like them. In her cosmology, the garden, though, she never quite embraced the Buddhist principle of compassion for all beings. There were the flowers, and then there were the bugs. The war was on with the bugs. I used to get emails every day from her, and in them, every one of them, there was a gleeful account, a gleeful count of how many Japanese beetles or aphids she had squeezed to death to protect her flowers. And she counted. It was like 89 or 68 or... She did have a lot of compassion for human beings, little children, poor people. She wrote hundreds of letters through Amnesty International for people that were tortured. She was appalled by the way human beings treat each other. And she gave, of her time to do something about that. When I moved to California, I really started up this email relationship and phone relationship that we couldn't quite have in person, but we had it on the phone and email. And where we really connected was talking about films and literature and mysticism. And we talked a good deal, and we talked about daily events too. But we often discussed death, and we talked about the reality to come, and we speculated, and she viewed death all her life as an advisor, as an inevitability and a reminder that nothing stays, and as a reason to do what was important in the moment. And I wanted to share with you this little mesh bag of pennies, which at my father's 80th birthday, she made for each of us. And in each of these mesh bags were the number of pennies until we would reach 80. And this was a way of telling us time is precious. But that was a good idea. In the last couple of years, she kept thinking she was going to die, and she would tell us often about that. But she wanted to convey the message, and this is what she said many times. "Don't be upset when I die," she told me anyway. "I am ready. I have had a good life and a wonderful marriage. And it's okay." Thank you.